No risk it, no biscuit.
Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to the show for you, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up, See Red podcast, show number 153. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, USA Today, Sports Media Group's NFL Wire site, covering the Arizona Cardinals. My co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also the host of the NFL Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, it's been a couple of weeks. How are things?
Oh, good. Just busy trying to wrap up this last 3 weeks before the NFL draft happens, and we find out who the Cardinals pick at 13. Apparently, the new hot name, you just wrote about it, I tweeted about it, John Ross. You and I have a very strong belief that that's not an Arians-type pick. While it's a perfect Arians receiver, wow, 4.22 speed, He doesn't, you know, advocate wide receiver early. So that's an interesting kind of thing to watch, because now you have Daniel Jeremiah, Pete Prisco, and Pro Football Focus all mocking that. So right away, you just kind of nod your head and say, okay, why is this picking up so much steam right now?
Yeah, that's interesting. And we're officially in the draft season of the podcast, guys. We took a couple of week hiatus after free agency started. There's some news to talk about. I mean, if we want to talk news, there's some stuff that came out of the NFL owners meetings. We're recording on a Tuesday night. Tony Romo out of the NFL and into the broadcast booth. And for those of you who have dreaded listening to and watching the CBS broadcast because of Phil Simms, you can now be a little bit happier because Tony Romo replaces Phil Simms in that role. So it'll be kind of interesting to do. But yes, mock drafts everywhere. And it, you know, the tide has been turning for the Cardinals, as we've seen over the last little while. For many, many weeks, it was cornerbacks. Well, then they got to the quarterbacks, even Patrick Mahomes and DeShone Kizer. Mike Williams was popular for a while, but yes, John Ross, a really interesting mock there, as you noted. Yes, a perfect receiver for the Cardinals in terms of his skill set and his fit for Bruce Arians, but a very interesting selection if you look at anything that Arians teams have done. It just does not seem to match up. And is John Ross really a top receiver? I mean, that's the thing. Is John Ross going to be a top receiver, or is he going to be a role-playing receiver? That's the thing that's going to be interesting to see if he does end up in the first round. But tonight we are recording about the NFL draft. It's the first of three NFL draft preview shows that we'll be doing. This episode is all about quarterbacks, since this is a quarterback year in which, you know, ideally, the Cardinals will select their future starting quarterback to replace eventually Carson Palmer. And so this year in particular, with the pick at number 13, this year is intriguing, especially with a number of quarterbacks that are in play. So we'll talk about quarterbacks in this show. Next week's show will all be about the rest of the offensive side of the ball, the prospects there. We will then go to the defensive side of the ball, which will then lead us the week after that to our pre-draft show, in which, as we've done the last couple of years, we have both mocked the first round of the draft and talk about kind of Seth's picks, my picks, and then what we think will happen as opposed to what we think teams should do. And this is going to be a very interesting draft, I think. Don't you think, Seth?
I do, because I was telling somebody today at my internship, they asked me, you know, who are the best, you know, like blue chip players in this draft if you take out the quarterbacks. And I said, you know, obviously you take Myles Garrett off the board if you're not a Cleveland fan. So from two to whatever now, the question is who's good? And literally every other player, there is a question mark. Like something hanging over them. For instance, Solomon Thomas, I would say he's probably the second best player in this draft, but you look at it and you go, okay, he only had one big year. You know, they used him more as an interior, kind of in an Aaron Donald role. And that's not, you know, his best position. He's going to play more of the Preston Smith role in the NFL. You know, is he going to be able to make that transition play as a pure edge, and what type of production is he going to give you in that sense? You know, you look at a Malik Hooker, we don't even have testing numbers on him because he had surgery on his labrum. You know, Reuben Foster, I think, is one of the better linebackers to come out in a number of years. He's got a shoulder issue and has had two noted concussions. Like, and then
you in addition to the off-field stuff.
Yeah, and then you have Marshawn Lattimore, who, you know, might be the best corner to come out since Patrick Peterson, and he's played one full season and has habitual hamstring issues. Like, and then, you know, like my top wide receiver, Corey Davis, is not able to test at all, so we don't really have numbers on him. I mean, and it's an ankle surgery, so it's not like it's just a shoulder or an elbow for a wide receiver. It's just one of those things. It's crazy to me how talented, but with the flags that you have in this class, and that's why, you know, everybody, I mean a lot of Cardinals fans are so, you know, ardent on this. They can't draft a quarterback at 13. They have to take an impact player for 2017. I just, like, I don't know if there's a player that's going to be at 13 that is going to have an impact in 2017 for the Arizona Cardinals.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to talk about, things like that. We're going to be talking about this show. We're going to talk about some of the things that Bruce Arians said when he was at the owners meetings recently about the quarterbacks. We're going to talk the top quarterbacks at the top prospects, who's worth taking in the first round. Who are we looking at in the second, third round, and players down, the other prospects that there are? Do they fit with the Cardinals and what they like to do? Do they not? So that's coming up on this edition of the Rise Up SeaRed podcast. This episode brought to you by Blue Apron. As you know, or you've heard me talk about Blue Apron quite a bit over the last couple of months, and that's because Blue Apron is, well, if you like to eat and you like making and preparing great food, it's the way to go. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, with the whole idea is to make incredibly good home cooking accessible to everyone. The food is fantastic. It's affordable. And, you know, I just finished today chicken lo mein with bok choy meal. I got a couple of more meals coming on the way this week. I've got a pan-fried cod and potato cakes with the cabbage slaw. These are all sorts of meals that to eat I might ask to try out, even when I'm in a restaurant. There's certainly things I wouldn't have tried to cook on my own. And, you know, we prepare them at home and have them as a family. So you're getting restaurant-type quality, at least in terms of the menu quality, the dishes. You're getting that in your home, and you're getting at a reasonable price. They're coming up. You've got some of the meals that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. You've got a spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta, a sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot and ginger fried rice, the Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. That's actually coming this week for me. And then another, a baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. I mean, it's varied. There's a variety of different things. And here's the deal. It's less than $10 a person per meal. They deliver exactly the amount of ingredients that you need, with instructions on how to make it to make delicious home-cooked meals. All of the food is responsibly grown or responsibly raised. That's one of their, that's one of the big missions that they have. You can customize your recipes, and it's guaranteed. If everything's fresh and if it's ready, not ready to cook, they'll make it right. So now here's the thing for you guys, our Rise Up Sea Red listeners, check out this week's menu and you can get, like I said before, get your first three meals for free. That's three meals. And you get free shipping. Head over to blueapron.com/red. You're going to love how it feels. You're going to love how it tastes. You're going to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/red. Get those three meals for free with free shipping. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Now let's get started on in terms of what we're doing with quarterbacks, and let's start with the comments Bruce Arians made. So here's a few things that we learned from Bruce Arians over the owners' meetings. One, it'd be nice to get a quarterback this year. It's not completely necessary. He said there are six or seven really good arms. Of long-term outlook, there's some guys that he really, really likes. One is in this class who could start this year, which led to a lot of different speculation of who that might be. So let's start with draft one this year. Let's talk about that. Is he right? Are the Cardinals in a situation where they've got to draft a quarterback this year?
A draft, no. I think attain would be the right word. They need to, and we talked about this with the Cutler situation, what was that, 3 or 4 weeks ago. They need to have somebody in-house that is ready to take over in 2018. And basically that means they need to know that Carson Palmer is ready for 2017 to be his farewell tour. Because what you don't want in 2018 is to have a rookie, you know, a 2017 rookie, having to sit again. You're not going to want to force Palmer out. And then the worst possible scenario would be you don't draft somebody in 2017, or you don't pick up a veteran that, you know, like I said, like we talked about, like a Jay Cutler type that can learn the system and then take over for Palmer for a year to stretch out, you know, now all of a sudden you don't have to get a rookie until 2018, 2019. The worst possible scenario is you don't address the situation. You go into the season with Palmer, Stanton, and Dysart, and then Palmer pulls a Kurt Warner, and 2018, you're looking for your Derek Anderson, you know, to take over to steer the ship after Palmer abandoned it, you know, early. And so that's what you don't want. So is it necessary to draft a quarterback? Probably not. Would it be wise to have a young, talented arm that hasn't been on six different rosters in Zach Dysart, you know, coming in? I do think so.
And for me, I don't know. You know, obviously they don't have the biggest need for a quarterback, which, and for me, the issue with the Cardinals is that they've passed up on some talented guys. Now they've had a couple of guys that got away from them. Supposedly, that's another thing that Bruce Arians said, is that they've tried to get a quarterback, and they said in the past couple of years they've had them either picking just ahead of them or three picks ahead of them. And you documented that the quarterbacks who have gone near where the Cardinals have selected. And me, I think he was talking specifically last year, based on just the number of the picks. He said like picks before that was Paxton Lynch in the first round, and that was Jacoby Brissett in the third round, which is kind of interesting that they want to do that. But they were content with letting Teddy Bridgewater go under, you know, pass up on him, which you knew why, in part because of his frame. But they also let Derek Carr go, even in that draft when they already traded down, and now not Dalen Buchanan has been fantastic for them. But wouldn't it have been nice to have a Derek Carr in the system? Certainly. But, you know, here's my take. They don't have to take a they're not in a situation where they must take a quarterback, which I think makes that this year an even better year to do it. They're not ideally going to have another high pick like they do this year. If things go the way they're supposed to, they're not going to be near number 13. They'll be in the late 20s and, you know, ideally be picked number 32 next year. That's not the pick in general to get yourself a franchise quarterback simply because, one, they don't fall unless there's some missed evaluation or there's some concern or flaw in that player that he eventually overcomes. Or two, you move up and you give up everything to get it, because to move up from that low in the round to all the way up to the top, you're basically giving up any chance you have of getting any other talent for a quarterback. And so this year, well, they don't have to. They're not, there's no pressing need because Palmer's going to play this year. So they could buy some time. And I'm not even in the opinion that they have to even, they don't have to bring someone else in. They could bring in some guy, you know, whether it's late round. It's just, if Zach Dysart's going to be on the roster, might as well be anyone else. It'd be nice to change him out for someone else unless they really think that he's got a future, because obviously Drew Stanton is a free agent after this next year. And Carson Palmer, while he's still under contract for another year, he very well could decide to retire. I think this is the perfect year to do it. And with the quarterbacks, and we're going to talk about this, that supposedly are not that – they're not players that you want to throw out there in year one. I'm like, well, perfect. The Cardinals don't need that.
Right. It's kind of, it is kind of what's the word I'm looking for? It is kind of like the perfect idea and time for that, because, you know, they have built a solid roster. They've built a talented team where, you know, I know people want to say, oh, well, they need a cornerback. Okay, well, we know how Bruce Arians work. Are they really going to is he really going to play a rookie? Probably not, let's be honest.
I mean, maybe, but if he did, he clearly have to be better than Brandon Williams and Justin Bethel. And while, say what you will, fans, Justin Bethel has played the last 2 years on a broken foot, or on a broken foot and a recovering broken foot. And when he was healthy, when his foot was finally healthy, he actually looked good. And when he was finally practicing, so he even is not giving up hope on himself. They really like Brandon Williams. Brand new kid in the first round against guys that have been in the system for some time. Not just one, but two. It's going to be really hard for that rookie to beat out those guys.
Yeah, it is. And that's, you know, and they brought in Dansby. So a rookie's not going to play over Dansby or Buchanan early. Safety, like I've said all along, I could see a safety playing as a rotational guy. I brought up Jabril Peppers the other day because he does make sense. He's basically a similar style of player to Tyrann Mathieu, works best near the line of scrimmage, playing in the slot. You know, he's not a guy you want to single high or anything like that, but he's a guy that can do multiple things. So maybe this, I know this is blasphemy, nobody wants to hear this, but maybe you hedge your bets with Tyrann Mathieu and you draft a Jabril Peppers. And then, you know, if things don't work out with Mathieu in 2017, you have his replacement who does similar things. I don't think Peppers is as much of like a dynamic playmaker on the ball as Mathieu, but similar style of what he can do. So, but yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, maybe a right guard, but are we going to get pumped up about Forrest Lamp at 13?
And you know, Jonathan Cooper, after all.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Lamp, but don't get me wrong. I the kid is going to be a phenomenal player, but
and is he going to beat out Evan Babe?
Right, and then, but that's the other thing is, you know, this isn't. I don't want this to come out as bashing Steve Keim, because it's not. But if we're going to say that Keim is great in the draft, or Keim does a great job of drafting, if you're already looking to replace your third and fourth round pick of 2016, then you cannot use that in the same sentence, because that's, you can't say, oh, well, they have to draft a cornerback. They literally just took a cornerback. They literally just took a player that can play right guard. So, but you're saying those are needs again. Like, at some point, you do have to let the kids play and either sink or swim. Now, I know that's not a fun, you know, idea to throw out there, but you look at successful teams, that's what they do, is they let expensive players go and replace them with cheap young players, and they don't miss a step. So if the Cardinals are taking that next step to going from a nice 3-year run to being a perennial, you know, NFC West champion, perennial NFC contender, then the next step is those third and fourth round draft picks are going to take over for the departed veterans that were more expensive, and they're going to play well. And then in 3 years, they're going to leave, and then the new batch of rookies that are 1 or 2 years in are going to take over. That's it's a cyclical thing, because you can't pay every player to stay. So you have to draft and develop talent and then eventually find a way to let them play.
And yeah, absolutely. And no, that's why for me, I really, even if this would be the year for me, because you talked about, there isn't necessarily a player that they're going to, not going to really make an impact this year. It could happen, but a quarterback at number 13, don't see him as their 13th best player or the very top of their board. If there was a quarterback, and this would be the year that I'd let them, I'd say it would be an appropriate time for them to reach a little. So a guy that they have a late first round and they can't find a trade down partner, why not take a quarterback? The quarterbacks go higher than they're supposed to anyway, quarterback tax. So if there's a guy that you like, don't wait. Don't lose out on Paxton Lynch. Don't lose out on Jacoby Brissett. Don't lose out on Derek Carr. Don't lose out on, you know, Dak Prescott. Don't lose out on Russell Wilson, because that's happening year after year. Have confidence in, even if he might be late first, maybe high second, it's worth getting him in the first round, extra year with him, and likely to get, like, the DJ Humphreys pick. You know, had he stayed in school, he would have been a top five pick, Akeem said. Basically, you get your redshirt that player, and they would have been a better pick the next year had they decided to stay in school, but you end up getting an underclassman. So, yeah. Now, the next deal of in that saying, there are six or seven really good arms. The question is whether they're going to be quarterbacks, but he likes the upside in terms of long term, but he said only one could start this year. Yeah, who do you think that is? It's been reported that's DeShone Kizer. But what do you say?
Yeah, and so, you know, when I heard that, it was what, a day later that John Gambadore of Arizona Sports reported that it was Kizer. It was the next day, right?
It was.
So I thought initially that he was talking about DeShone Watson. I thought Watson's ability to run his, even though it's not an Arians type offense, to run his offense so incredibly proficiently at Clemson made him the ideal, you know, kind of plug-in quarterback. I know he has limitations and there are issues, but there are more pluses than minuses with Watson. That's why I would rank him as my top quarterback in this class. But however, all that great stuff being said, I don't think he fits with Arians. So when Gambo came out and said Kizer, it does make sense, because I think it was I can't remember who it was. Who did Arians compare Kizer to Carson Palmer? Or who did Arians compare to Carson Palmer? I remember there was a quarterback he did, and I just can't. Oh, it was Paxton Lynch last year. Never mind. But yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, I
a lot of draft comps. I think Kizer's a guy that I've seen some draft guys comp to, like the NFL Network guys have said Carson Palmer like.
Yeah, I've my comparison, my high end, because you know I like to give you a scale that a player can fall on. My high end would be Donovan McNabb, you know, a multi-time Pro Bowl All Pro quarterback that was highly successful in Philadelphia. I think he plays with a similar style. I think he has similar physical abilities, big arm. He's not overly athletic. I think he ran in the 4.8s as for his 40, but he moves well enough. You know, that was the whole thing with McNabb. It's kind of why I've seen some people say DeShone Kizer's similar to Ben Roethlisberger. I can buy that because they're bigger guys that move well, but they don't necessarily, they're not fast runners. But when he said Kizer, it did make sense, and it clicked, because when you look at this class as a whole, just the makeup of the quarterbacks, Kizer's the only one that would check all of the Arians boxes. Davis Webb has the size and the arm. He's thinner. He's not as put together as Kizer. He doesn't move as well as Kizer does. You know, Webb checks, like I said, Webb checks a couple boxes. Mahomes checks some boxes. Trubisky checks boxes. But if you put it all together, Kaiser's the only one that you can look at and you say, okay, he's big. He's got a great arm. He's mobile within the pocket and mobile enough to get outside of the pocket, extend plays. He's had success at a high level in college, at a big university. Even in his down year, I still think he threw like 29 touchdowns this year, or something like that. Like in a down year, his completion percentage was garbage. But when you factor in that he literally played in a hurricane one game, you take that completion percentage out, you get over that 60% threshold. And outside of Nathan Peterman, he's the only quarterback that's worked from under center at times. So it does make sense that Kizer would be that guy. I would not have thought that, but when you kind of put it all together, it makes sense.
And then he even said, another thing that Arian said was this. He said, there's a couple of sleepers no one's really talking about because of the offenses they were in. It's kind of interesting because pretty much everyone following the draft knows about five quarterbacks. John Kizer, Deshaun Watson, know about Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and Davis Webb. Besides them, who would be sleepers? I mean, maybe that's the bit. Do you see a guys out there who have some high end potential? Maybe, you know, the bad comp perhaps, but a guy who has the traits, and a guy like Logan Thomas, for example, because they physically he checked off a lot of boxes, but had, you know, is there another guy? He's a couple of guys, one or two sleepers that kind of fit that.
Yeah, I think the first guy that does is Jared Evans out of Virginia Tech.
Wait, it really is Logan Thomas, right?
Yeah, he and somebody texted me the other day and said, "Oh, he's better than Logan Thomas was." But you know, 6'3", over 230, big frame, you know, and super athletic. And the thing you like about him is that he was accepted to the Air Force Academy. So that's, I mean, that's a kid that's, you know, got it together. He's obviously smart to get into the Air Force Academy and you know, be able to play there. He transferred to Virginia Tech. He has some family things and needs, and that's why he declared early. I know a lot of people ridiculed him for declaring early, but there were some family needs that caused that to speed up from what he probably should have done, which was return for his, I think technically his senior year. I don't know because he transferred, but he's a guy that I really like on day three. Like, if you were going to ask me the one guy that, you know, isn't one of the big names, I would say it's Evans. He had 3,500 yards and 29 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions, but he also had 12 rushing touchdowns. So he's a very good athlete. He was a very good passer this year, over 63% completions. He's just a guy that puts it all together. In terms of ability. Now the question is, can he do it consistently at the next level? I think if he would have went back next year, I think he could have played himself into a day two type player. I think this year, coming out early, with, you know, the lack of kind of film, he's going to be a day three guy, which is fine. The other guy that I don't know who exactly would be the guy, but Seth Russell from Baylor makes a lot of sense. He's 6'2.5", so, you know, right around that threshold. He has a really strong arm, though. 56 miles per hour at the combine. He plays in that stupid Baylor offense. So, you know, that could be the other guy. Other late round guys, I mean, that's the problem, is that was such a, you know, that was such a, like, an odd comment. Like, does he think Davis Webb's not being talked about enough? Because that's a dumb offense too. But the top pick in the 2016 draft came from that offense. So let's not act like it affects what people think of players. So Russell's one. CJ Beathard's another. I don't think he's all that good, but, you know, maybe. I'm just trying to look at guys that fit. Patrick Tolles is another one. He was a 5-star recruit out of Kentucky that transferred as a grad to Boston College and just never put it all together. He was supposed to be, you know, one of the great quarterbacks and you know, as a redshirt sophomore in the SEC on a bad Kentucky team, he put up solid, you know, unspectacular numbers, and then he just never put it all together. So there are some guys, maybe Brady Gustafson of Montana, who we made fun of at the beginning of the year on the NFL Draft Breakdown podcast, because we said that he was going to try to get, you know, people were going to try to push him up this year. So there's a lot of them, but I'm interested to see kind of who is available at 13. And I would love a scenario to see all 4 or 5, I guess, if you want to throw a Web into that mix, of the top guys available at 13, and then see what the Cardinals do. Like, are they, you know, it's kind of, at that point, it's kind of put up or shut up. And we'll see, you know, kind of what they're made of. They had that same opportunity in, I think it was 2014. Blake Bortles went off the board early, but then they had Manziel, Bridgewater, and Derek Carr sitting in front of them. And I don't know if it's that they didn't have high enough grades on any of those guys or what, but I mean, hindsight being 2020, obviously we know that Carr would have been the right pick, no matter how much you think of Deion Buchanan. You know, having a quarterback is surmount over having a or paramount over having a good linebacker. So,
and you know, I actually had in the simulation that I ran for my site, I ran a mock draft. I don't mock drafts the way a lot of people do. I don't do every pick. And so what I do, I run those simulations that there are through FanSpeak. And I ran one. And the one that I did this last weekend was You know, I ended up passing on a quarterback, or in fact, traded back a couple of times. It's just those were trades that came up. Didn't take quarterback early. Ended up going with Jared Evan in the fifth round. Now, my commentary was this. I know this pick would not move the dial at all for any fan. There wouldn't be a single fan that would be excited about this, especially because how many times have Cardinals have gone late round? They've done, you know, they've done John Skelton. They've done Ryan Lindley. They've done Logan Thomas. They've done this over and over again without any success. And all of them ended up having to try and play early with varied levels of success. And then adding in that Jared Evans is a Virginia Tech guy, you'd be thinking, oh my gosh, it's Logan Thomas 2.0. You know, but, you know, he's better than Logan Thomas was. Logan Thomas was almost a converted core. I mean, he was still raw to the position. But that's the thing. If the Cardinals end up drafting a quarterback late, not a single fan will be convinced. And I think no one wants to see – I don't think there's a fan that wants to see that happen. Because as much as people want to see the Cardinals find the next Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott, nobody's willing to risk another Ryan Lindley, Logan Thomas, John Skelton to do that. And so we look at the first round. The first round is a great time to do it, especially when, you know. So let's talk about those guys. So we've got Mitch Trubisky. You talked about DeShone Kizer. Mitch Trubisky, what are the ups, what are the pros and cons to say – how does he fit? Is he worth a number 13 pick for the Cardinals? Does he fit? What are his strengths and weaknesses? One thing I've heard, everything I've seen on TV, everything I've run across on NFL Network, the guys that are the faces of the NFL draft, they all love Mitch Trubisky. And they're wowed by his anticipation. They're wowed by his accuracy, his athleticism. But then you're like, wait, so why wasn't he starting before this year? Well, yeah, where does he fit in?
And Justin and I on the podcast have kind of talked about this a little bit. And we've wondered if it was more that Marquis Williams, the guy that was in front of him at North Carolina, just had a better command and sense of the college offense that North Carolina ran. You know, something we've seen with like Taylor Kelly, not a bad college football quarterback. Didn't even get a sniff in the NFL. So that happens, you know, and then, you know, Mike Bercovici is still kind of hanging around in the NFL. So it's not necessary, and I know that's a terrible comparison for a guy that we're talking about being drafted as the first quarterback off the board, but it's not a death knell to a guy or to his future. The thing you like with Trubisky, and I think the most important attribute he shows is his ability and the reason he would fit with the Cardinals, and we're going to look at all of this from like an Arizona Cardinals standpoint, is he is a really good passer working the intermediate. So those deep 11 to, you know, 20 yard out routes outside the hashes, throwing to that opposite hash, throwing those deep digs, those deep outs that Bruce Arians loves in his, you know, vertical flood offense. That's a plus on him. He doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have a Pat Mahomes. I don't even know if his arm's as good as DeShone Kizer's. You know, he probably has a little bit more of an arm than what current Carson Palmer has. But it's enough to do that. He's also very athletic, extremely athletic at 6'2", you know, 220. I think his 40 time was right up there with like Deshaun Watson's. I've made the comparison. He really reminds me of Alex Smith. Like, and people are like, oh, well, Smith doesn't throw the ball deep and all that stuff. But it wasn't because he didn't have a good arm. It was just because he never did that in the NFL. But when you watch Trubisky play, I think he's an extremely safe player who takes what is really good at taking what the defense gives him and is really adept at kind of keeping the offense on time. And so that's where my question becomes is if he can, you know, make those window throws in the NFL that Arians wants his quarterbacks to make. If he can make those, you know, he like I said, he was very accurate when he was doing it in college, but a lot of times that's not in smaller, you know, the windows are a lot tighter, a lot smaller, and a lot more sudden in the NFL. So that's my question about him. You know, when you talk about like an Alex Smith type ceiling, that's a, 10-year starter in the NFL. Like that's not.
And who's done nothing but really win games and go to the playoffs.
Right. So that's, you know, I think he is a very talented quarterback. He's my quarterback 4 in this class overall. But I think he has a lot of red flags and I, you know, you're really, and I know we're projecting on all these guys, but you're really projecting on him when you make that pick. Because you're looking at him through the scope of, I want to make sure I get this number right. So hold on one second. 13 starts. So 13 career starts. He's thrown 571 career passes. As a comparison, Pat Mahomes threw 591 passes this year. So, you know, there's much less to go on for him based on what we've seen comparatively speaking to, you know, obviously Mahomes, Watson, all these other quarterbacks. Even Kaiser has over 120 more passing attempts in his career than Trubisky. So, you know, people knock Kaiser because of what he did this season or his completion percentage this season. But what would have happened if Trubisky went back? Would he have, you know, built on it or would he have taken a slight step backwards? And that's what the question is with him.
We've talked about Watson. We've talked about Kaiser. Patrick Mahomes, guy that was seen as a solid second round guy for a long time, now might be off the board with the Cardinals pick. There's a lot to like about him. He has the rare arm talent that you find in guys only like Matthew Stafford. He has athletic ability. He has production. He comes up big when his team needs it. The question is some of his mechanics, and then, of course, coming out of that Texas Tech offense, the quick read. But what can Patrick Mahomes be? How much does he need to grow, and how much is he already ready?
Mahomes is one of those guys that he's got to come in and, you know, he's got to learn how to play less backyard football. You know, he's got to learn how to make more contested throws. There's no question about that. But I've said all along, he really reminds me of Derek Carr coming out, where you have a lot of questions on him, but you can see the unbridled and kind of refined excellence that he oozes. And in a perfect world, you'd be able to, you know, take him in a similar range, but we're seeing lesser accomplished quarterbacks, Goff, Carson Wentz, you know, and I'm a big Carson Wentz believer, even a Blake Bortles type, go so early now that a guy like Mahomes, who you normally would take where you took a Paxton Lynch, now is going to get pushed up that board because he does have you know, a lot of similarities to Carr, and Carr's turned it on and had a lot of success in the NFL. I know a lot of people compare Mahomes' game to like a Brett Favre or Matt Stafford, where they're a little wild, they're a little bit of a risk taker. I definitely see that. Like, if you're willing to live with the just like the, oh my gosh, what were you thinking throws, because you know, three times a game he's going to make a throw that only one other quarterback in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, can make, then you live with those negatives. But he is such a positive player in what he does, and I really think in this class, despite him being my number three quarterback, behind Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer, I think in this class, he and Kizer are the perfect marriages for Bruce Arians, because they both have the size, the arm, and then they both have that ability to ad lib, the ability to extend plays and push the ball down the field effortlessly, not having to work hard to do so, like one of the guys we'll talk about in a little bit.
Now, Mahomes is a guy, you know, there's definitely a solid group of Cardinals fans on our Cardinals Twitter. I mean, it's a small group. There are Cardinals Twitter nation there, but Mahomes to me, if he's available at 13, seems perfect. Perfect because of the physical capabilities. And you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, the comparisons of Matthew Stafford to Brett Favre. You know what I see in terms of mentality? I see a Carson Palmer. What was Carson Palmer for the first 10 years of his career? He was a guy who puts up big numbers, but then once or twice a game, it's just like, what? And Mahomes, I think, could benefit greatly from the man that is Carson Palmer, the student of the game that is Carson Palmer, to kind of bridle that, to harness that into making better throws. And Carson still does, because every quarterback does. Every quarterback still makes throws where you're like, what? Why? And I would fully support Patrick Mahomes at number 13. Although, as you've heard and is starting to gain traction, is that by number 13, Patrick Mahomes probably going to be off the board. And more and more, I'm getting the sense, not from anything I'm hearing, like I don't mind my sources or anything, but you know, Trubisky's going to be off the board. Watson's probably going to be off the board. And Mahomes is certainly going to be off the board by the time the Cardinals pick. And that's disappointing, because I think Mahomes would be so good in a Cardinals offense. But that brings us to the next guy, Davis Webb, whose draft stock, either no one really knew what NFL teams really thought of him, or they have really fallen in love with this kid. Davis Webb, who lost his job to Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, replaces Jared Goff at California, puts up gaudy numbers. And in fairness, he's not a one-year wonder, because he put up really big numbers at Texas Tech as well. He puts up massive numbers as California. He's got his arm talent right there with Mahomes. He's got the athletic ability. He's got the size and frame. He's got the mentality. He undoubtedly, he will win over locker room with his work ethic. Where are the concerns now? Because he's gone from day three, maybe, to, okay, we can live with him in day two, to now he said double digit teams have told him he's a first round talent. And someone even told him that he was the best quarterback that they've on the boards they've seen so far. Now that might have been they've seen one or two quarterbacks, but now Pete Prisco from CBS Sports is saying the more NFL people he talks to, the more he's convinced that Webb is not just going to be a fringe first rounder. He's going to go higher than people think, which means, and I wrote about this, look at the situation the Cardinals in, look at the physical profile that he is, and you look at the situation the Cardinals are in, I can see, I said breadcrumbs. This is not smoke. There's still fire, but these are breadcrumbs that the Cardinals, the fact that he's the only prospect that they've given more than one look at, there might be something to that. And could you live with the Davis Webb pick at number 13?
No, at 13, I would be, that would be ghastly. But, you know, with Webb, it's similar to, you have a lot of the same questions you have with Mahomes, but I will say this, and this is where, this is why I would have Mahomes and Kaiser so far above Webb, that is that when things break down, when the play breaks down, when these simple spread plays break down, how do the players react? And one thing that we've seen with Webb is that he doesn't excel in that. He, now you have to remember, in college, sacks count as negative runs. I don't understand why. Have you ever heard why they do that?
I don't know. I think the NFL used to do it that way, but it does. Yeah, it makes zero sense. Just take it off the net passing yards. And but I mean, so, I mean, college, when you, college defenses like it because then it makes their rushing defenses look fantastic.
So when you look at it, right, and this isn't anything, like, I'm not comparing him to Deshaun Watson. I'm not comparing him to Jared Evans or even Mitch Trubisky. But when you look at it, Webb, on an admitted, and I'm admitting this, on an admitted bad Cal football team, Webb rushed for minus 110 yards, which means that all of the, I wouldn't say all, but I would guess 90% of those are the result of taking sacks. When you look at Mahomes, who threw, you know, Webb threw 620 times this season. Mahomes threw 591. So it's pretty comparable. Mahomes had 285 rushing yards. So not, you know, not a read option guy, not a guy that you're going to want to run the football with, but why is he able to take, you know, less sacks? Why are his numbers better when they tested similarly? Webb was a 479 guy. Mahomes was a 4.8 guy. So we're not talking about a superior athlete in terms of, you know, athletic testing from Webb to Mahomes, but we're talking about a player that when things break down, when the pocket breaks down, what do they do? How do they respond? And for Webb, a lot of what we saw was that he is not comfortable ad-libbing or making plays outside of the structure of the offense. So when he's disrupted or things of that nature, he all of a sudden, he's either taking a sack or he's throwing an interception. He had 12 interceptions this year. That's not a bad number based upon the volume of throws. I mean, because that's an absurd amount of throws. That's not a bad number at all. You know, but when you look at it, why is Webb in an offense that's, you know, more up tempo, that has a lot of quick hitting throws, why is he taking so many sacks? And then you have a guy like Brad Kaya, who is a complete statue in the pocket, doesn't move whatsoever, and they're basically even in terms of those numbers. And so you look at it and you say, okay, what's going on there? That's a red flag for Webb. So on top of, he's coming from a very simplistic in terms of same offense as Mahomes and Watson. So let me explain this. He's coming from a very simplistic offense in terms of initial decision-making. It's the fact that he struggled with making those secondary decisions that are the red flag comparatively to a Mahomes or a Watson.
That brings us to really the top tier quarterbacks, the top five, top four, what do you want to call them? Let's talk next on Rise of Sea Red about some of the guys at the next tier, guys who might be creeping into the second round, but are third round, maybe fourth. So that's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. Rise of Sea Red's back, and let's talk about the next tier of quarterbacks. So you've got names like Nathan Peterman and Brad Kaya, and maybe to a lesser extent, Josh Dobbs. Where do you see them fitting in the draft? And because the Cardinals apparently have some interest in Peterman, Kaya, he checks off some boxes. Is there any potential for any of those guys as potential starters, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line? If we're looking something truly developmental, do you like anything? Is there anything that Peterman and Kaya have to offer?
I just don't see Kaya as a fit in this offense. I don't think he has the arm to play in Bruce Arians' offense. He reminds me a lot, arm strength-wise, of Chad Pennington, the former New York Giant. I think Miami Dolphins. So I would say no on Kaya.
That's a mean arm strength.
Yeah, it's not optimal. Peterman is I've said it, he reminds me of a lot of Drew Stanton. Like, you can see a guy that has some developmental skills, some things that translate to a consistent starter in the NFL. But I think at the end of the day, when all is said and done, he's going to be one of those guys that gets drafted in the third round and ends up being a really good backup for his entire career, makes more money than, you know, you and I can ever dream of making. And people complain. Yeah. And also people complain about him and say he's a bust. And you're like, well, not really. If you understood what you drafted him for and the fact that you're going to get a 10, 12 year career out of him, a la Drew Stanton, you really can't get that upset about it. You just have to know what the cost is. So if you're going to draft him in the third round, thinking that you're going to develop him into a starter, you may be disappointed. But if you get him in the fourth round and all of a sudden he's your backup for the next 6, 7, 8 years, that's not necessarily a bad currency.
So the Kirk Cousins comp, that's come up a lot in terms of type of quarterback, probably build. I don't know so necessarily if this is – do they see him, the comp, as the guy that took 3 years to come into his own, or they just see that that's the type of quarterback he could be? Because in terms of production, Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback anymore. And as much as personally I just can't believe in him, I don't know why. There's something about Kirk Cousins I just can't trust as a team's quarterback in terms of its long-term success. But is that a fair thing to say that Peterman could be a Kirk Cousins and, you know, make $25 million a year as a starter who puts up all sorts of numbers, but you're never quite sure if he's the guy that you want?
Well, I think that would be the good scale comp that I like to use. If your low end is if your low end is going to be Drew Stanton, which is, you know, at 10 years now, 11 years in the NFL backup, your high end might be Kirk Cousins, where he takes that step and he develops after 2, 3 years into an NFL starter that apparently San Francisco wants, apparently the Redskins kind of want. So, you know, I don't think that's a bad comp scale to fall on for a guy like him.
Guys that fall after Peterman, Josh Dobbs. And now, is he a guy that should get, you know, day two, early day three looks? And he's got some of the physical things. What's the story on Dobbs?
Dobbs is one of those intriguing guys where he just never – he kind of reminds me a little bit of Logan Thomas in his development, and that you kept waiting for him to take the next step. You kept waiting for the season to occur when he was the guy. And he is a guy that's put up fantastic numbers at Tennessee. He's a guy, he improved every single year in terms of touchdowns, in terms of interception percentage until this year. And then, you know, but he's not a guy that threw the ball a whole lot. He had 2,900 yards passing this season. He had 27 touchdowns. You know, he's got a nice arm. He's brilliant. He's an aerospace engineer, I believe. But he's one of those guys that you watch him play and you're just waiting for the light to click on, and it just never seems to have done so. So would you take a chance on him as a developmental pick in round five, round six? Absolutely. I think that, you know, if you're talking about day three, the two guys that I would be all over would be Jared Evans and Josh Dobbs, because physically speaking, from a talent standpoint, they have just fantastic ability and you know, background of athleticism to kind of build off of. The question becomes, can they take that step? Dobbs is one of those guys that you've waited for him at Tennessee to take that step every year, and he never took it.
Are there any other quarterbacks worth even mentioning after the guys that we've seen? So we've got the top five. You've got Peterman, you've got Kaya, you've got Dobbs, you've got Evans. That's nine quarterbacks. Is there going to be more than that drafted, or is there anyone else worth even bringing up at this point in terms of fit with the Cardinals and the type of player they are and the mentality?
Tolles, whatever his name is, would be from Boston College. He'd be a nice undrafted free agent to bring in. You're not going to spend a draft pick on him, I assume. Gustafson probably will be another undrafted free agent that you can look at. Another potential, like, late round guy, kind of had a meltdown at his pro day in Chad Kelly and got hurt throwing the football. I don't see him being draftable because he does have some, you know, huge. He's got
big off the field red flags. And now not only that, the ACL he's coming off of, the wrist injury, it might be serious. Draft analyst Tony Pauline's, you know, I mean, this was as of Monday when it happened. The players he talked to seemed to suggest that that wrist injury was serious.
Yeah, so I don't think Kelly is a draftable player. I'm not sure he's bad by any means. I just don't know if he's draftable. You know, other than that, there's some names. Like I said, Seth Russell's a name to know. But there's not anybody that jumps off the page that you're saying, okay, like, we need to come bring this guy in and check out. I think if it, you know, if you had me rank them, I would say there's two guys I would draft in the first round. And again, I want to preface this by saying I'm looking at this from strictly Bruce Arians' offense, Arizona Cardinals' point of view. I've got Deshaun Watson as the number one quarterback in this class. I don't think he fits in Arizona. I don't. I don't think he fits with what Arians wants to do in his offense. I don't think it's the best use of his talents. So the two guys I think fit in Arizona and I would take at 13 are Deshaun Kizer and Patrick Mahomes. If you're talking on day two, you could probably twist my arm into Davis Webb, but, you know, not really. And then when you look at it as your developmental guys, Jared Evans, Josh Dobbs, Nate Peterman wouldn't be a bad one if the cost is right, but those are really it. Everybody else I think you can bring in as a priority free agent and just kind of get another look-see. But I like Trubisky. I just don't know if the cost at 13 is where I want to take a guy that I've only got 1 year of you know, 530 throws in a career on. That that's the most worrisome thing to me about that whole thing. But, you know, when you look at it overall, I think this is a, talented yet flawed class, much like the entire class in general.
And if you had to pick, and here's the scenario, I've kind of jokingly said this to you, but this, the most likely scenario that happens with the Cardinals with quarterbacks, this is my, what I think is the most likely thing happens. I think the most likely scenario for Arizona is Davis Webb in the second. And I wouldn't be shocked. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Cardinals went quarterback with any one of the five that we talked about. And that includes Davis Webb. But if I had to pick what I believe would be the most likely scenario they come out with a quarterback this year, it would be Davis Webb in round two. I think he is nothing that I've heard or know. He just seems to be the type of player that the Cards will fall in love with in terms of mentality, in terms of physicality, in terms of arm talent. If you had to predict a scenario for quarterback, how do you think that turns out for the Cardinals this year?
You know, and that's the thing. When I look at Webb, I know he checks a lot of the Arians boxes, but there's a couple things. It's his lack of ability to create when things fall out of structure. And then the other thing is he has kind of baby hands for his size. And that was acknowledged in a couple. I know people think that's funny, but if you read some of the write-ups, that's one of the things that gets acknowledged about him, is that it kind of coincides when you watch him play, that he struggles to do like proper pump fakes and things of that nature, because he has trouble holding on to the football for that. So it'll be interesting to see. Mahomes has the same size hands as him, so that could be, you know, a question on him. But he has, you know, never had any fumbling issues, and he's never had that, you know, that question thrown out about him. So maybe it doesn't matter, but it is something to watch. I honestly, like, the more I talk to people, the more I get the sense that Webb's not even going to be on the board at 45. So,
true.
Like, that's my whole thing with the Webb thing, is I just don't even know if he's going to be there for them at 45. So all of a sudden, then you're into the question is, do they like DeShone Kizer enough? I don't know what they think of Pat Mahomes, and that's the honest to goodness truth. Maybe they are, you know, maybe they are more cognizant of these spread quarterbacks after passing on Derek Carr and seeing him have success. That play, you know, with the ability to push the ball down the field and outside of structure well, like Carr did. But if, when it's all said and done, if I had to like bet money, if they were going to take one, I think it would be DeShone Kizer at 13. Like that's who I would wager that they would pick.
All right. And that'll wrap up the quarterback show leading up to the NFL draft. This is April. This is draft month. And for Rise Up Sea Red, it is draft month as well. So we talked about quarterbacks, comments that Bruce Arians talked about. We've gone over the kind of the big five in terms of quarterback play. First round, second round, some guys, even sleepers, where Nathan Peterman and Brad Kaye and Josh Dobbs and Jared Evans fit in. And next week, we'll be back again on Rise Up Sea Red. We'll be talking about the rest of the offense. So the other skilled players, running back, receiver, offensive line, tight end, those players, as we continue in our path to the draft, as the one show is called. But we're leading up to the NFL draft. This is Rise Up Sea Red, New York. You can find us on pretty much everywhere on the internet if you want to find a podcast. You can find us on my site, cardswire.com. It's featured on Revenge of the Birds, Seth's site. It's on Blog Talk Radio. That's where the show is hosted. You can find us on iTunes and subscribe, and we would really appreciate a 5-star rating if you would so be so kind to do so. You can find us on Google Play and on Stitcher Radio as well. anywhere you can find, and Google Play, everywhere, anywhere you can find great podcasts, you know, is it in there? Whether it's great or not, that's a different story. But until we were back next week, that's Seth Cox, and I'm Jess Root. This is Rise Up, See Red, and we will be back again.